Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, April 23rd.
Thank you. Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements in the bulletin, just a few things to highlight. Today, right after worship service, we will gather out at the cemetery for cemetery decoration service, and that will begin as soon as I can get out there anyway, so probably about 10:30 or 10:45 is when we will begin that service. Next weekend, next Sunday, and also Saturday night, Dr. Amy Schifrin will be here. She is the president of the North American Lutheran Seminary. She will be preaching at Saturday night service and Sunday morning service, and then during the Sunday school hour on Sunday, she will be in the fellowship hall to talk about seminary and then to answer any questions and to visit with you as well. That's next Sunday. And then after the Sunday school hour, we do have a congregational meal. It is a meal on a stick. Everything's going to have a stick on it. So if you're curious, you got to come eat. Okay. Today, we have switched around a few of the communion hymns. So the hymns on the board is correct. The order of the hymns that are on these boards are correct. The ones in your bulletin are incorrect. And are there any other announcements? Anything else this morning need to be made? I think Hans is going to help lead us. We have some new liturgy this morning once again, so Hans is going to run us through a piece or two of that.
Good morning. As you'll notice, there are a couple of new parts, not new parts, but new music in the liturgy this morning. And several of these are coming from familiar hymns right out of the Green Book. But there is one that may be new to us, but it's not exactly a new song. If you turn to page 10 in your bulletin, right? So this is our Lamb of God. And just a little bit about this piece before we practice it. This was written by Franz Schubert. It's from what's called the Deutsche Messe, or the German Mass. And it was written for congregations to participate in the singing. It was from a tradition of hymn writing that instead of the choirs doing all the singing for the parts of the worship, it's meant for the congregation to be able to sing. So what I'm going to ask Llewellyn to help me with is I'm going to sing the first line, and then I'm going to ask you guys to join me in singing the first line, and then we'll try the second line, and the third line, and the fourth line, until we get it once through real fast, so that when we get to it in the worship service this morning, and when Pastor Tim and I are serving communion, we can hear you singing it up there. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer, Redeemer of the world. Jesus, Redeemer, Redeemer of the world. Grant us your peace. Grant us your peace. Grant us your peace. Grant us your peace. We're going to try it once through together.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace, grant us peace.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to hearing that during the Easter season. Thank you.
We begin our worship with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, number 128.
Christ.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the festival of our Lord's resurrection. Graciously help us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. After the Holy Spirit came to the apostles on Pentecost, Peter preaches the gospel to the gathered crowd. He tells them that Jesus, who obediently went to his death according to God's plan, was raised from the dead by God. Finally, he appeals to the scripture, quoting Psalm 16, 8 through 11, to show that Jesus is the Messiah. Though crucified, the risen Jesus is now enthroned. I begin reading at verse 14a. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses." The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Psalm 16 will be read in unison. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all over. All my delight is upon the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. Their libations of blood I will not offer, nor take the names of their gods upon my lips. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not fall. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope, for you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 1. This epistle was written to encourage Christians experiencing hardships and suffering because of their faith in Christ. The letter opens by blessing God for the living hope we have through Christ's resurrection, even in the midst of difficult circumstances and surroundings. I begin reading at verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I ask the children to come forward.
Good morning. Okay, guys, I've got a picture for you, and I want you to tell me what you think this picture is. A duck. How many of you see a rabbit? Yeah, I've got an illusion this morning. Some people see a rabbit. Some people see a duck. The same thing, or this picture, reminded me this week of our Easter story. On that very first Easter morning, Mary ran out to the grave, and she got there, and it was empty. So she ran back and she got Peter and John and said, "The Lord's gone. He's not there." So Peter and John ran to the grave as fast as they could go. And when they got there, they went inside and the two men saw a folded napkin where Jesus' head had been. And immediately they remembered what Jesus had said, that he was going to rise again. And so they left. They were satisfied. But Mary stayed there, and she was crying because she still believed her Lord was gone. And two angels appeared, and the angels told her, "He's not here. He's risen." But she was still crying. And suddenly she saw someone standing behind her. And she thought, well, it's the gardener. So she said to the gardener, "Where have you taken him so that I may go?" And then Jesus said, Mary. And what do you think Mary thought? Right away. She knew it was Jesus. And so she ran back telling everyone, I've seen the Lord, I've seen the Lord. You know, people are the same way. Sometimes they see a duck. Sometimes they see a rabbit. Sometimes they don't see Jesus because they're looking for Jesus in an empty tomb. But he's not there. He's alive. And you and I, we can find Jesus in our Bible stories, in Sunday school, and listening to our pastors. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus is alive. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us yourself in your word. Amen. Okay, y'all are going to stay.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Grace to you and peace, brothers and sisters, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to see. I want to touch and to feel. I want to see so that I may believe. It was, after all, one of the key promises that Jesus had made during his ministry, that if he were killed, he would return after 3 days. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. For all of Jesus' teaching, we need to remember that he was in the business of reinterpreting the same scriptures that all the Hebrew people were familiar with. He was helping them to re-engage with God's word. But he was not actually teaching anything that wasn't meant to have been taught. He wasn't meant to have been doing a new thing day in and day out. He wasn't unbecoming a first century Jew. It was who he still is. But on this one thing, this dying and rising again after 3 days, that was a truly special thing. Everything that he had taught them, everything that they gave up to follow him, everything hinged on this one claim of his. His teaching only holds its significance. That is, it is only the word of God. if he can rise from the dead. I want to see. I want to touch and to feel. Thomas makes a very specific request, but it is not correct to think that Thomas was possessed of a lesser faith than anyone else. His friends who had put everything into following this Messiah, were hiding away in a room for a week. They were hiding away in a room for a week after they said they saw the Christ. Yet Thomas gets the reputation of having the weaker faith. A week, a full week later, they were still in the house, shut in and locking out the outside world. Was the fear that had brought them there in the first place still such a concern for them? When Jesus appeared to them, saying, "Peace be with you," this was meant to stop this fear, to let them move forward, to be able to go out and proclaim the risen Christ. And he even bestows on them the office of keys, that is, the power to bind and loose sins. And they rejoiced. But a week later, they are once again shut up in the same room, having obviously not made it too far since Christ appeared to them. When Christ appears to the whole group in that first occurrence, Thomas was not with them. If it was because of fear that they were hidden away, was Thomas not bound by the same fears as his friends? Because if you had been following the man who said he would come back from the dead, and then you abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane when the authorities came to arrest him and crucify him, the Jewish authorities would not be the only Jews you were afraid of. What if the one whom we abandoned really could come back from the dead? There was plenty for the disciples to be afraid of, hiding away in those first days after the report of the stone having been rolled away. But Thomas was not counted among those who were hiding away out of fear. I want to see. I want to touch and to feel, to put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side. What Thomas tells the disciples is that he wants to experience what they have experienced, because when Christ appeared to them that week before, he showed them the marks in his hands and his side. And it is almost as if Thomas is perplexed by their reaction, because he was not hiding out in fear with them. And now they are saying that they saw the Messiah, and yet they are still in the place they go to hide. Thomas just can't seem to make sense of his friend's behavior. This disparity becomes clear when our Savior returns that second week. Jesus calls Thomas to come and put his fingers in the marks on his hands, and to put his hands on the wound in his side. And Thomas, obedient to the risen Christ, comes forward. And when he physically, tangibly encounters the resurrected Messiah, putting his hands in and on the body and blood of the no longer dead Jesus of Nazareth, at that moment, he makes the same declaration of faith that we echo every time we come to the altar. My Lord and my God. The witness of Thomas opens another dimension of the resurrection story to us. It is his witness relayed to us that spells out in the clearest possible terms that the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth is not a metaphor or an occurrence limited to a spiritual realm. Because what Thomas bears witness to is the fullness of the body of Christ, the very specific and singular raising up from the dead of that one particular person. And at this, he exclaims his and our profession of faith. My Lord and my God. Because it means that what Christ is promising is not limited to a metaphorical change or a resurrection in our hearts. It is not limited to a spiritual encounter with him after our deaths. It means that when we are baptized into a death like his, we are baptized into a bodily resurrection like his, full and complete, realized, perfected, and made new, so that we will be with the Creator of the universe for the whole of eternity. I want to see. I want to touch and feel and taste. It is what we, like Thomas, ask for every time we come to the table. We want to have that physical, bodily encounter with Christ. And when the pastor says to you, the body of Christ given for you, and you think to yourself, or maybe say aloud, Amen, which means, truly it is so. Or when the server says the blood of Christ shed for you, and you have that moment where the taste of the cup is on your lips, echoing Amen once more, and perhaps making the sign of the cross to remember in whose name you have been baptized as you leave the table. It is in these moments that we confirm what Thomas said those 2,000 years ago, proclaiming in our encounter, just as in his, that we are meeting our Lord and our God in flesh and blood. Here, we know that he has risen from the dead. Here, at the table, the one who promised to rebuild the temple in 3 days is fulfilling that promise every time we touch and taste and see. And he is bringing us in our Thomas-like faith to be with him forever. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. We continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 448.
Let us now confess our faith as we say together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With joyful confidence, let us approach our Lord's throne with grace, there to pray on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Lord Jesus, bestow the light of your resurrection upon your church. Breathe your Holy Spirit upon it and fill us with your peace. Test and purify the church so that you are constantly praised, honored, and glorified in all it says and does. Use us to bring many to a sure and joyful faith in you, the author of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Breathe your Holy Spirit upon Christians who are persecuted for naming you as Lord. so that they act and speak in ways that glorify you. Soften the hearts of their enemies and cause many to believe in your strong saving love. Give them the faith of the apostles, who rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor on account of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. Bless this congregation with the imperishable inheritance that you have won for all who trust in you. Make our faith genuine, our worship joyful, our love for you and for our neighbor deep and heartfelt, our words gracious and bold, and our deeds generous and compassionate. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the beauty of your creation. We ask that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Show yourself in mercy, forgiveness, and power to those who doubt, disbelieve, or who have become disillusioned about the gospel of truth. Give to each of us such a gentle and encouraging spirit that we lead them closer to you. Lord, in your mercy. We lift before you everyone who has been grieved by various trials to body, mind, heart, or spirit. Lead them safely through their suffering and restore them to life, hope, and love. We pray especially for Catherine Brown, Phyllis Hahn, Janice Lamprick and her family as they grieve the loss of her sister. Lord, in your mercy. We entrust to you, our risen and glorified Savior, all of our beloved dead. Comfort, we pray, all whose grief runs deep, and fill our hearts with imperishable hope, lasting joy, unshakable confidence in the precious inheritance you have stored up for all who trust in you. Lord, in your mercy. We praise and magnify you, most holy Father. We entrust our prayers and petitions to you in the strong name and for the dear sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene, with Peter, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift and in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 294.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
For joining us this morning for our worship service from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. We hope that you will tune in again next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and we invite you to come worship with us whenever you can. We have a Saturday evening worship service in our chapel at 6 p.m. and on Sunday morning we have our worship service in our sanctuary at 9 a.m. followed by Sunday school classes for all ages at 10:15. Thank you.
Thank you.